Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue on our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election. Let me remind you again, we're still critiquing the teaching of Professor Todd Green, who is a liberal professor at Luther College, as he speaks to an audience concerning the topic of Islamophobia and the 2020 election. As we have seen in our last broadcast, that he did not like Hillary of missing the golden opportunity to speak the truth about how we must respect the Muslims who live among us in America. That is, in the case of the Muslim soldier who died in Iraq, Officer Kahan, and how Mr. Trump did not respect such Muslim people to come to America by suggesting that we should have a ban on some Muslim countries, six countries to be exact, whom Mr. Obama previously also advised to have banned on the Muslims who will be coming from this country simply because these are people whom we cannot vet in any way, form, or shape simply because they do not have any paperwork. Today, Professor Green, as I promised you in our last broadcast, will continue to talk about the second golden opportunity for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who was running as a candidate for the election of 2016, and how she failed to give the real reason of why we should love and respect and protect the Muslims who live with us in America. And without further ado, here he is, Professor Todd Green.
But she had moments on the other side too, that maybe weren't given as much attention simply because the bar had been lowered so much by Donald Trump in the campaign that almost anything you say is going to sound better. But Clinton had a golden opportunity at a town hall meeting in St. Louis, Missouri, at Washington University, in October of 2016, to really push that card and make a strong statement against Islamophobia. A member of the audience asked a question about the problem of rising Islamophobia and what each of them were going to do about it. I'll spare you the details of Trump's answer because it had nothing to do with Islamophobia. But Clinton, I felt she had, I still think of the metaphor of the thing, volleyball, the setter, right? The person asking questions set her up beautifully. This is a spike, and not a very difficult spike at that, in terms of an easy answer. But instead, she qualifies her answer, which is a kind of a typical Democratic response, which is, of course we should push back against Islamophobia. We must take a stand with our American Muslim neighbors because we need American Muslims to be our eyes and ears on our front lines, in the context of this, our front lines on the war on terror. This does not go over well in many Muslim Americans. It doesn't go over well with scholars of Islamophobia either, because this is a typical equivocation, right? Muslims are still in this special category that we should protect them or stand with them because they are useful to our counterterrorism initiatives or to our particular policies in the war on terror. And not just coming out and doing what I would do, or if I had a chance to advise her, which will never happen, which is to say, we stand with American Muslims because we are a nation committed to civil liberties, human dignity, and freedom of religion, and you end it. That's a response to Islamophobia. And you don't go into securitizing Muslims or saying that the only reason we are going to stand with them or the primary reason we stand with them is because they have some kind of utility for the rest of us. That is not an expectation ever put upon me. But it was put upon Muslims in this case. This was cringeworthy under normal circumstances, but again, because of who she was debating, it wasn't hard for it to come across as being significantly better. But it is a reminder of the challenges Democrats have had with how to respond and how to make a moral argument against Islamophobia. I am not saying Clinton is exceptional in this regard. I'm saying she's actually pretty typical in the Democratic Party in terms of struggle.
Well, let us analyze what Professor Green said so that we can give a proper rebuttal. The first thing that caught my attention in the teaching of Professor Green here is his statement about Donald Trump. Don't you love it? Now he's critiquing Hillary Clinton concerning her answer to that important question in the town hall in St. Louis, Missouri. But at the same time, he's hating on Trump. He's telling us because the bar had been lowered so much by Donald Trump and the campaign that almost anything you say is going to sound better. It's going to sound okay. So when Hillary made mistakes, it's because the bar was lowered so low by Mr. Trump, which is the opposite of the facts. Do you know that one candle in a dark room will bring more light than the same candle, or maybe 10 of them, in a room with light? What I'm trying to say here is this. If Donald Trump was really that bad, and he lowers the bar of how we react, how we talk about the Muslims, the liberals who are looking for any reason to make Trump look bad should have these great opportunities to raise himself above that level of Mr. Trump. Do you remember Michelle Obama when she said, when they go low, we go high? Well, here is Trump is going so low. So why not the liberals did not go so high to prove to the Muslim and to the American people how ungodly or how un-American Mr. Trump is? But let's talk about the most important part for our study here for today. It was a town hall meeting in St. Louis, Missouri. It was on October of 2016. That is at Washington University. And some member asked the question to these competitors who were running for the office, the President of the United States. What was the question about? It's about Islamophobia. The audience asked a question about the problem arising with Islamophobia and what each of them, these are the liberal Democrats, were going to say or going to do about that problem of Islamophobia. Well, Hillary gave an answer. And the answer was not approved by Professor Green, as he will share with us himself, as you have heard him, what he would have said if it was his advice to Hillary, or if he would give the answer himself. First of all, here is the answer of Hillary Clinton to that question. She said, of course we should push back against Islamophobia. We must take a stand with our American Muslim neighbors. And as I said before, I repeat again, trust me, there is no such thing as Muslim Americans or American Muslims. That's an oxymoron title. It doesn't make any sense if you know anything about Islam and what Muslims believe. Because to become an American, you have to reject Islam. And to be a Muslim, you have to reject America. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot be white, black, rich, poor, Republican, Democrat. It does not work that way. You have to choose one of the two. There is no such thing as being slightly pregnant. You're pregnant or not. So she said, we must stand and take a stand to push back against our American Muslim neighbors concerning the subject of Islamophobia. Why is that? Listen carefully. Here is what Hillary Clinton said. Because we need American Muslims. Once again, here is American Muslims, which is not true. It is something that does not exist. But we need American Muslims to be our eyes and ears and our front line in the context of this, our front lines on the war on terror. So what do you want, Sister Hillary? She wants the Muslims to protect the Americans. Do you know who came up with this idea? It was not Hillary Clinton. It was actually the Muslims of America. Even though Hillary is repeating what the Muslims of America desires to do, Professor Green did not like it. He's actually telling us this didn't go over well with many Muslim Americans. It does not go over well scholars of Islamophobia either. Professor Green did not like it, and the Muslim did not like it. Now let me share with you a story. It was just a few weeks after September 11, and our FBI agents were actually knocking on doors of some Muslims in Florida. And the Muslim of CARE, these are the Council on America-Islamic Relations, were complaining about it. They were so upset about it. And I was listening to this talk show on radio station in Orlando, Florida. And surprise, surprise, there was a gentleman from Egypt by the name Ahmed Badir who was invited to speak on the behalf of the Muslim in Orlando, Florida community. Ahmed Badir is one of the leaders of CARE. And he said to the host that the best way for the FBI and those who involved in the Homeland Security at the time to do it right is to get the Muslim community to be in charge, to be responsible for that job. So they, the Muslims, will be the eyes, the ears. They will be the ones who will investigate and knock at the Muslim doors and searching for where we may find some problems among the Muslims, rather than having the FBI do their work among the Muslims. When I heard that suggestion of Ahmed Badir, my blood was boiling inside my veins. And I said, here it is, America. The Muslims who believe to protect the Muslims over any Americans, the Muslims who killed 3,000 on September 11th, just few weeks after September 11th, are suggesting to our media to be in charge of our FBI. So I was very angry, and I said, how dare the Muslim jihadi Ahmed Badir suggest that they should be working for the FBI to help us to capture the bad Muslims who live among us in America?
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information.
Well, the telephone number for the station was open for people to call. I drove my car to my friend's house, and immediately I went inside her home and I asked for their phone. And I asked her and her husband to dial on their cell phone as well, try to get to the radio station so that I could give my opinion about this suggestion of Mr. Ahmed Badir. Concerning his suggestions for Muslims to be the eyes and the ears to help the FBI to capture the bad Muslims who live among us here in America. Well, believe it or not, the first time our dear friend, Sister Nadia, made the phone call, it went through. So she gave me the phone, and I talked to the producer, and I said, I need to respond to that idiot whom you have on your show. She said, who are you? I said, my name is Usama Dakdok. I'm a Christian from Egypt, and I have something to say about the guest whom you have on your show. And she said, we are looking for someone to respond to him. Would you please share whatever you want? They put me online, and I introduced myself to Ahmed Badir by telling I am a Christian from Egypt by the name Usama Dakdok. And what you have suggested to that host for this radio show is the worst thing I have ever heard. It's much worse than the attack of September 11th. To let the Muslim work for the FBI to be the eyes and the ears for us to protect us from their own people. And I asked the gentleman whom I found out that he is a member of CARE, that is the Council on America Islamic Relations, who are a Muslim group, belongs to the Muslim Brotherhood, a Muslim jihadi organization. I asked him if he is a member of CARE, but he denied it. And I said, sir, with all respect, you are a member of CARE. CARE is a Muslim Brotherhood. You are a Muslim jihadi. How dare you come on our show right now, few weeks after September 11, complaining about FBI agents knocking on your door and the other Muslim doors who killed 3,000 Americans and tell me that you want to work for FBI to capture the Muslims, your own people, you are going to give them up for the love of America. My friends, I cannot remember all I said when I made that call, but the host of this radio station gave me all the time I needed, and I praise God for that great opportunity. But what I'm trying to teach you is this. This idea of the Muslim to be the ears and the eyes for us in America to protect us from the radical Muslims, as Hillary would put it, or as Professor Green would put it, is a joke. It's a joke because no Muslim will ever give up another Muslim for America. As a matter of fact, if you investigate all the attacks which we have seen in the last 19 years, that since September 11th until today, you will realize that the FBI discovered that the Muslim neighbors and the Muslim friends knew about the attacks which Muslims will carry, but not once did any Muslim give up another Muslim before the attack occurred. Let me remind you of the last attack we have in Florida, where the Saudi came to be trained in our base there. And guess what? They were holding cameras to record the shooting of the good Muslim Mohammedans who shot and killed 3 men on the military base. Not one of them sought to do anything to stop the attack. They were happy to record the shooting of their friend from Saudi Arabia. And so is every other cases we have in America. I do not have the time or the place here to cover all these facts about Muslims know what is coming, but they will never tell. And you know why? Because they're doing that for Allah. There is no such thing as a Muslim giving up a Muslim for the love of America. But what is so amazing is that, once again, Hillary is repeating the suggestion which is given by the Muslim of America just after September 11. And Professor Green does not like it. Why is that? Because he said that this is a typical equivocation. And he asked the question, am I right? And then he said, Muslims are still in a special category that we should protect them or stand with them because they are useful to our counterterrorism initiatives or our particular policies to the war on terror. And I looked for the word equivocation to see what the word meant. And guess what? It is ambiguous language to conceal the truth or to avoid committing oneself prevarication. So what Professor Green says, Sister Hillary here is trying to get to the gray shades. She does not want to give a black or a white answer. But at the same time, she gives the middle answer. You can have it either way, ambiguous answer. And the other reason Professor Green does not like her answer for that question, because he has a better answer. And do you know what his better answer was? Professor Green said she should say, if she will take his advice, or if he will answer that question himself, he would say, we stand with American Muslims because we are a nation committed to civil liberties, human dignity, and freedom of religion, to civil liberty and independence. That is a response to Islamophobia. But wait a minute, Professor Green. None of these fit with Islam. You see, in Islam, there is no civil liberties. In Islam, there is no human dignity. In Islam, there is no freedom of religion. In Islam, there is no independence. So how in the world are you going to respond to Islamophobia with things does not exist in Islam? As a matter of fact, if Islam will be fully practiced in America, that's what Muslims will get rid of from America. Our civil liberty, our human dignity, our freedom of religion, and our independence. All these things which you want to brag about, we Americans have it, and that's why we're going to stand with the Muslims. All these facts would be demolished by having Islam in America. See, once again, the problem with our professor, Professor Green, he does not know too much about Islam, does he? He must be the most naive, useful idiot the Muslim have ever used in the world, or he must be the greatest deceiver, much deceiver than Allah himself, who stated that he is the best deceiver. If he knows the truth about Islam and he's hiding these truths from his audience and from the American people, how can he protect the Muslims and stand with the Muslims who are here in America for one reason and one reason only, to destroy us, to get rid of our freedoms, our liberties, and our independence? This is the problem we have with Professor Green. Professor Green is telling us the reason Hillary gave that answer is because she was in a debate. She does not know how to take a stand. But believe me, my friends, that is what the liberal part is all about. Do you know how the liberals won the House of Representatives in 2018? They ran 35 people as moderates, even though they're all liberals. But after they won, they all stuck together as liberals for the impeachment of Mr. Trump. All of them, all the 35 new congressmen and women who ran as moderates became hardcore liberal Democrats. And you know, this is the reality. The American people cannot see it, cannot understand it, that they are manipulated by the liberal party. And trust me, that's exactly what they're saying right now. They will run in 2020 as moderates. Why? Because that's the only way they can win over the independent voters and many of the liberals who may call themselves centrists. So, yes, indeed, Hillary could not take the stand of Professor Green to defend the Islamophobia in the 2016 election. And so it is the reality of all liberals alike. Now, Professor Green himself is sweetening his talk about Hillary in the end of the segment. So he himself also loves to hang in the gray area. That's when he said, I'm not saying Clinton is not exceptional on this regard. I am saying she is actually pretty typical in the Democratic Party in terms of struggling here. Yes, my friends, the Democrats used to struggle in Clinton days, but today they are an open club for all the Muslims to run for office and eventually take over America. And to continue our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.